Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word, WHKW. And I hope you'll be able to stick with us and maybe even join in the conversation tonight. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, our telephone lines are open. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air here tonight with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer here this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Bless the program. Guide us. Help us use this time for your glory. Help us be able to point people to Christ, Lord. And we just thank you for all that you've done and your blessings. We just pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what a beautiful day this turned out to be. A beautiful Sunday here in Northeast Ohio. Hope it was nice where you were at. And this evening got a little chilly. I was kind of surprised coming out of the house to come up to the radio station here tonight. And we had dipped down to 39 on our thermometer. And they were calling for patchy frost in places tonight in some spots of Northeast Ohio. So, all in all, it was a beautiful day, though. And looking forward to some nice temperatures this week, I guess, in between some of the raindrops. But hope you have you've been having a good weekend. Had a great day today. And again, like I said, this is a live local radio program with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And I got a number of things we can talk about tonight, but most of all, we want to hear what you have in regards to questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. So you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. And I believe we have Deborah on the line already waiting for us. Deborah, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Good evening. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening. I'm recalling about a passage I spoke to you a couple of weeks ago about Paul to Timothy usurping women that you are not to usurp.
Oh, okay.
Authority. Do you recall that?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
And let me just...
And I was in agreement with that.
Yeah,
and
I am.
I always have been.
Yeah.
From what I read, too, in Genesis 3, God backs Paul up by giving the reasons why. In Genesis 3.
Mm-hmm. Well, and,
in,
yeah,
17.
And...
But the reason why I'm calling is because the same pastor gave me a passage today. He strongly believed that women are allowed to preach. He said that women were preaching in the Bible. He said... He referred a passage, Philippians 4:3. I am not reading that. I don't read it that way.
All right. Well, let me turn over to Philippians 4:3, and we'll read that, and we'll compare that also with over there the other passage that you had looked at or referred to for our listeners that might not remember that was 2 Timothy chapter 2. And verse number 12, where Paul had written to Timothy.
I think it was 1 Timothy, wasn't it?
1 Timothy, yeah, 1 yes. Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12. He said, "But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over mm-hmm. the man, but to be in silence." And then he said, "For Adam was first formed, then Eve, mm-hmm. and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression." And that refers back to Genesis 3 and about 16 verse 15.
And 17, right?
Yeah, 15, mm-hmm. 16, 17, mm-hmm. where it talks about how Eve was deceived and then the curse that was placed on her. And really,
and
ultimately,
he gave the authority to the man.
Right. And ultimately, what Paul is citing here is. there's a curse in the world today.
Right.
And this is one of the consequences of Eve's sin.
Right.
And as we pointed out when we were talking about this passage before, Eve's consequence for her sin was not to be the one that brought death into the world. That was Adam. Because the Bible says by one man, it's referring to Adam, death came into the world. Now, you're saying in Philippians chapter 4, I believe you said?
Philippians 4, 3, yes.
And verse number 3, all right. And, he says, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, and Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. And these women labored with me in the gospel. Well, my wife labors with me in the gospel, but she's not in the pulpit preaching.
Right. See, that's the way I take it. What I'm reading is that they helped him labor, getting things together and together and things like that. Help labor, but he's saying no. He says odious, and there were two women that started the churches in the Bible. And I'm not. He said it was in the culture, depending on the culture. I'm not reading that. Are you reading that?
Well, in the first place, when Paul was writing to Timothy there in 1 Timothy chapter 2, there was nothing about the culture there. Mm-hmm. He said the reason was Adam was first formed and Eve was deceived, but not Adam. Mm-hmm. In Philippians chapter 4, it says nothing about preaching and it says nothing about culture. It just simply says that there are some women who worked with him, helped with him, labored with him in the gospel. I think one of the women he may have been referring to regarding a church, I think it's 3 John, either 3 John or it's 2 John, there it is. Toward the end of the New Testament, there's three little letters that John wrote. And this is not the Gospel of John. That's over in the Gospels at the beginning of the New Testament. But toward the end of the New Testament, there's three letters, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. 2nd and 3rd John are only one chapter each. And in 2nd John, verse number 1, which is chapter 1, there's only one chapter, it says, The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. And so he's addressing her, and even in verse number 5 says, I now beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we've had from the beginning, that we love one another. Then he goes down talking about love and about Antichrist.
Nothing about preaching.
Right.
Nothing about women preaching. He said that in the Bible, women have preached in the Bible. It's in the Bible. I can't find that in the Bible any place.
Well, it's certainly not in the New Testament. Now, we do have women in the New Testament who gave testimony and who taught and things like that. And certainly we have, I think it was Aquila and Priscilla who taught Apollos.
But
they weren't preaching in the church.
They weren't preaching. They were expounding the faith to him, expounding on more things, the new things, because he was preaching John the Baptist to repent and so on.
Right,
and so
right.
Forth. Right.
Exactly.
Right.
And then, if you go back to Paul writing to Timothy, that passage there where Paul is writing to Timothy, 1st and 2nd Timothy, actually, the two letters there, those were letters to instruct him in the operation of the local church.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the qualification there, he gave the qualification for pastors, a qualification for deacons.
Yeah.
He gave them warnings. He gave them instructions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things. And as I've said before, there's a lot of women out there who, they would make excellent preachers. They're very good. They know the scriptures and they can communicate them very effectively. But the fact of the matter is that we have a very clear statement in the scriptures that it's not because of lack of ability. Right. It's not because of lack of knowledge. And I've heard people say that it was for those reasons.
In other words, excuse me for interrupting
No problem.
In other words, for me, when I see Genesis 3, verse 16 and 17, then if the men allow women to preach, then it is the men that are usurping God's authority, ruling over what God said about women not preaching.
Right. And now, again, let me give a hypothetical. What's that?
Am I missing something here?
No. And certainly, let me give you a hypothetical. Let's say that you were shipwrecked on an island, and you were the only Christian. Does that mean you shouldn't, as a woman, share the gospel with the men and the others in the group? No, absolutely you should share the gospel, and you should proclaim.
Titles. We're talking titles.
Yes.
Usurping is being the title.
Mm-hmm.
Men, this pastor turns around and says, well, if the men okay it. I said,
I've heard that, too.
I said, the men don't have the right to okay it because they're on Genesis 16 and 17, then the men would be usurping God's authority, ruling over what God told them.
Right. And again, that goes back to the fact that it's a part of the curse.
Right.
Now, one could argue, had there been no curse, then, you know, of course, this might be a moot point at that as a result, because the history sure would have been different. But but again, it comes down to curse in Genesis chapter 3. And let me just read through that, and I'll start in verse 15.
Yes.
And it says, "Now put enmity between thee and the woman," that's the serpent,
"and
between thy seed," that's the seed of the serpent, "and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. And in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire," now here's the key, "and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee."
Right.
And it continues on in verse number 17, but there's a part of the key right there.
Right.
The desire shall be to thy husband, but it says he shall rule over thee.
That's, and then it says, God gave the man the authority.
Right, and then it says, "Unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life." Then it goes on talking about thorns and thistles and working by
and
the sweat of his brow.
The woman was deceived. Eve, which equals the woman, because she was a woman, and there began the curse with the woman, because she was deceived.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And see, it's, like I said, it's where Adam is, that's where the sin came into the world.
Right,
and death by sin.
Right,
and that's
was accredited to him from God, because he one man sinned and brought death, the second Adam, Jesus, brought life.
Right. And like I said, in Romans 5:12, where it clarifies that, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for they all have sinned."
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Eve is not the one who brought sin into the world. She was deceived.
Right.
She was conned into disobeying God. Now, did Eve sin? Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely.
But she was tricked. Adam willingly, without being tricked, Adam, open eyes, went and rebelled consciously against God.
Right.
And that's why sin comes into the world through Adam, not Eve.
And
that's why today sin passes from the father to the child, not from the mother. Our sin nature is not inherited from our mother. Now, our mothers have a sin nature, but we don't inherit it. We inherit the sin nature from our father. And that's what the Bible tells us. And so Adam doesn't get off scot-free here.
I understand
that.
And I also, because when I hear pastors are, see, for in my way of thinking, the mister is a man, and the miss is a woman, and then a pastor is a man, and I never heard of pastorettes. You know, they have reverends, and they have women reverends and they have women pastors. Mm-hmm. And to me, those are pastorettes. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's absurd because that's not what God says.
Well, and
they're
again,
very intelligent. You know, they're reverends and they're pastors and they're even evangelists and they went through their training and everything. But it's not right. It's not what
right.
the Bible says.
Well, I was going to say, going back to 1 Timothy and in chapter 3, starting in verse 1, it says, this is a true saying, which means that what he's about to say is a truth. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, and that's having to do with a pastor, mm-hmm. he desireth a good thing. And then it says that in verse 2, a bishop must then be blameless, the husband of one wife. Now, mm-hmm. up until recently, I was on pretty safe ground saying, well, that pretty much excludes women. But, the recognition of same-sex marriage in a number of states, it's kind of hard to make that case as easily as we used to. But we understand the principle there.
Right. Everything is against God. And in your opinion, too, do you believe how I believe that from the Bible that the women are not supposed to be preachers?
Well, I agree with that, and that's what I said. It's certainly not over men, and there's
that's
a number
right,
of women, and
we
I
were
get
talking titles.
Yeah,
you know,
well, yeah, they shouldn't
they
be a pastor
talking.
Over a
right.
church because the church involves a spiritual headship,
that's
a
right.
spiritual
and the man
authority.
Is the head, like the man is the head of the house.
And the Bible says he's the head of the woman
That's
as
right.
Christ is the head of the church.
That's
and see,
right.
and that brings up another very good point because the picture of the husband-wife relationship is a picture of the relationship
right.
between Christ and the church. And just as Jesus loved the church and gave his life for it, a husband should love his wife and be willing to give himself for her. And to the point of sacrificing himself to protect his wife. I mean, that's something that we fail to grasp sometimes. People get all caught up in that passage there, mm-hmm. you know, where it says that that the wife is to be in subjection to the husband, and they forget that the verse before that says that we're all to be in subjection to each other.
And then it leads up to being subjection to God. Right.
Yeah, and when it talks about the wife being in subjection to the husband, what it's talking about is what we saw back in Genesis chapter 3, where her desire was to be over the man, and that's an area where the devil attacks in the relationship between a husband and wife. Because
yes.
if you'll notice, then it says that the husband's supposed to love the wife there in, what is that, Ephesians where it talks about that. And if you look at that, it never says the wife has to love the husband. And if you take the logic that means that husbands never have to submit to their wives, that only wives submit to their husbands, then that same logic would dictate that wives don't need to love their husbands. Well, we know that's not the case.
Right.
Wives are supposed to love their husbands.
Absolutely.
Husbands are supposed to love their wives.
Absolutely.
But here's the thing. The devil, again, attacks in the husband-wife relationship where the
right.
husband takes his wife for granted and stops loving her. He takes her for granted.
Right. But
that's not right either.
That's not. I understand
yeah.
that. But I'm just referring on this issue where women about preaching. And
right.
they're usurping the titles. And when men in ministry have women pastors in ministry, they're both usurping the man. The man's mm-hmm. usurping God because God gave the man the authority, and just like Paul said. So, and then the women are being deceived into usurping God as well. So
well, yeah, the man is giving an authority away
right.
that's not his to give
it's
away.
To give. He has no right
exactly.
to give it because God gave the authority to
yeah.
the man.
And again,
in Genesis
we're,
3.
Yeah. And I say again, we're not arguing whether or not the woman is capable, knowledgeable,
absolutely
intelligent enough,
not.
or any of that.
Mm-hmm.
We're simply saying there's consequences
right.
to sin.
Absolutely.
There's consequences to Eve's sin. There's consequences to Adam's sin.
Mm-hmm.
And the consequence to Adam's sin is that death came into the world and passed upon all because mm-hmm. we've sinned and we have a sin nature. The consequence to Eve's sin is part of the consequence. It rules her out from being
right.
a pastor.
Right.
And that's, that's scripture. And that doesn't rule her out from being able to teach the Word of God. And there's a lot of conferences where women have...
But it has to do with the titles.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not arguing for that. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying there's conferences where women's conferences, where women, great women of faith teach other women. And then there's certainly situations where they minister to the spiritual needs of young people in churches and...
I understand.
But they're not pastors.
Churches, they have churches that have women as pastors, and they have churches where men are pastors and women are pastors, and they're even called reverends and such. And that's not true Bible. That's not what the Bible says.
Yeah.
They're both usurping God's authority. And as in Genesis 3, about the serpent, it began with the serpent. The serpent bit then, and it's continuing to bite the woman and the man.
Well,
And it goes back where the woman is still being deceived or want to take over over for the man, and then the man is usurping God's authority as if overruling, overruling God.
Well, and see, this is a part of the devil's attack on churches, just like he attacks the husband-wife relationship.
Absolutely.
And I see we're coming up close to the break
here. Thank you so much.
And let me just close with an example of something I heard when I was in the Air Force.
Yes,
this woman who believed in women preachers was talking, and this subject came up, and a friend of mine looked at that passage there in 1 Timothy, where Paul plainly said that women should not teach or usurp authority over the man in the church. And she said this, and this is almost a quote, "I don't care what the Bible says." And that's the problem. They're saying, "I don't care what the Bible says." Now, that's wrong.
That's absolutely right. It's wrong because that's a God. And just like in Genesis 3, verse 16 and 17, when God backs Paul up because Paul's saying exactly what God said, and they give the reasons why. Okay, well, thank you very, very much. I appreciate
that. And it's a controversial topic, I admit it. Thank you for the call tonight, Deborah. I appreciate that.
Thank you, of course,
you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events, our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's toll-free, 888-677-9673. And love to hear from you tonight. And... you know, what I'm saying is that we've got to compare everything we do with the Word of God. And we've got to, no matter how much sense it may make to us personally, you know, here's Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, because there's no light in them. And Acts 17:11, where Paul commended the people in Berea, said they were nobler than the Jews in Thessalonica, because when Paul came and he proclaimed Jesus as the Messiah, says that they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. So we need to compare everything to the scriptures. And a lot of things that, humanly speaking, if I was writing the Bible, I would have written differently, did differently, said differently. Some things I would not have said, but God put them there for a reason. And whether or not we agree with the reasons, they're God's reasons. And whether or not we agree with what Paul said under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit there in 1 Timothy chapter 2, it's there, and it's the Word of God. We have to deal with it. And so appreciate that that call tonight. 888-677-9673 is the number, and we have Carla. Carla, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Hi, Pastor.
Hi, good evening.
How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
I'm great. I was just wondering, you were talking about the sins is passed on from the fathers. I was wondering, how is that so?
Okay, sins of the fathers. And let me just warn you ahead of time, if we get caught up here time-wise, we do have a break coming up at the bottom of the hour, and if need be, I might have to interrupt, and we can carry this over to the other half.
Okay.
But excuse me. One example of what happens is oftentimes, you know, you may have heard the expression, you know, what we do in moderation, our children will do in excess. And if we tolerate sins in our lives, oftentimes those sins will be practiced in the lives of our children, and even possibly to a greater degree. But there are sins, for instance, that we can commit as parents and as a father or as a mother that will affect our children. And people say, well, what do you mean? I thought that you should only be held responsible for your own sin, not that of your father. And there is some Bible that talks about that, about sins, children not being punished for the sins of their fathers. But here's the thing. If I, as a father, choose to not go to church. Now, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 that I should not be forsaking the assembling of myself with others. And so it's a sin for me to forsake the assembly with other believers. But I say, well, you know, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I don't need to go to church. I'll just pass on that. Well, I'm committing a sin. I raise my children with that attitude. You don't have to go to church. Now, unless you want to. Well, guess what? When they grow up, they probably won't want to. My sins have directly affected them. I can give you an example. I have a great-grandfather that, to my knowledge, went to church. He was a charter member, but he was a member of in Richfield, where I grew up. He was a member of the Richfield Baptist Church that dated back into the 1800s. One of the early churches of Richfield. He had two sons, okay? One of his sons chose to go to church and keep his family in church. That was my great uncle. My grandfather chose not to go to church. Which side of the family think has more kids in church today? Stay tuned. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website, at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show. Welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. Certainly, we're the sponsor of the show, but also we're sponsored by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, the home of the homemade pizza, is located at 4889 Turney Road, right across from the Garfield Heights High School. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights has calzones, stromboli, sandwiches, wraps, Lebanese food, salads, a whole lot more than just pizza. And you can contact East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights for pickup or delivery by calling 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. Mention Live with Pastor Al. You can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, 4889 Turney Road, right across from the Garfield Heights High School. Call them, pick up or delivery, 216-341-9100. And if you're interested in getting in the pizza business yourself without all the high franchise fees, call Gus at East Coast Pizza, 216-341-9100, and ask Gus how he can help you get started in your own pizza business for a whole lot less than what you might think. Well, we're going to get back to our program tonight. We'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word, and we'd love to have you call tonight if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. 888-677-9673. That's our toll-free number, 888-677-9673. And prior to the break, we were talking to Carla. And Carla, are you still with us there? All right, we still have Carla? All right, well, Carla was talking about sins of the fathers, and let me just touch on that real quick here. I had mentioned as we went into the break that even though we're punished for our own sins, 2 Corinthians chapter 25 and verse 4 says, "The fathers shall not die for the children, neither shall the children die for the fathers, but every man shall die for his own sin." There's some other passages, but I was making the example, my grandfather had two sons. He had more than two sons, but these two sons, one of them was in church, stayed in church, raised his kids in church. The other one, that was my great uncle, and the other one, my grandfather, did not go to church. He did not raise his kids in church. And I pose the question, who had more of his children, or more of his descendants, I should say, in church today, my great uncle that raised his kids in church or my grandfather that did not? And I'm in a sense, you know, it's because God intervened in my dad's side of the family that I'm saved and I have my siblings who are saved. But, you know, there's a lot more of the family, the descendants, than in my great uncle's side of the family that are in church and active in church. And that's because he chose to stay in church, and the sin of my grandfather by dropping out of church and not raising his children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, it had an effect on his children. And so that's, I guess, what we'll say about that right now. Maybe we'll explore that some more, but our board is lighting up here, and let me just go through. I got about four people on the line, so and like I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, our toll-free number, 888-677-9673, and we're going to take Carol next. And Carol, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Good evening, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening.
I have a question for you regarding the responsibilities of a bridegroom after marriage, Jewish customs in biblical times. And I could not find, I don't know if I heard someone speaking from scripture or just from customs about a bridegroom. I thought that it was said that for a year they did not have to serve in the military or... I can't remember. Exactly.
Yeah, under the law, a newly married man was exempt from the military for the first year. And part of the reason was so that he'd have time to have children and establish a home with his wife. And also that if something happened, you know, to him in battle, partly, he would have his lineage to live on through his children, for one thing. And also just the fairness under the law was so that a newly married man who goes to the battlefield, he's going to be more concerned about his bride that he left behind, that he just married, than the things of battle. And so there's some practical sense to that. Yeah, that's one part of it.
Okay, what were the other parts of it? Were there any other exemptions that he had privilege to because he was newly married?
I'm just trying to think of some things offhand. I mean, we do see the picture of the Jewish wedding reflecting, you know, the relationship between Christ and the church. For instance, the bridegroom would become engaged to his fiancée, and he would then leave, and he would go back to his father's house, okay? And when he went to his father's house, he would prepare a place for them to live. And when the place was prepared, he would return back, and he would call for his bride. And oftentimes there'd be somebody who would go ahead in the party and sound a trumpet and all. And she would probably generally know about when he was coming, but not exactly when. And so they were called to be watching and waiting. And it's kind of interesting, the picture that's there. And then he would receive his bride and take her home to the place that he had prepared at his father's house. And she would be there with him in the place that he prepared for her. And it's really interesting because when you read in John chapter 14, Jesus talking to his disciples, starting in verse 1, says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And the interesting thing, when John is caught up in the revelation to heaven, and he sees the events of the last days play out at the end of the book of Revelation, John sees he's being shown where the bride is, and they show him the New Jerusalem that's been prepared for the bride descending down out of heaven. And I believe that's the place that Jesus is preparing. And after the bride would be received by her groom, there would be a celebration, a wedding feast. And what do we find in the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 19, but the wedding feast and the bride being made ready and brought there. So there are some analogies. There's some books and resources out there on Jewish customs that go into that in some more detail. That's kind of just hitting some of the highlights there.
Well, how this discussion came about in our Bible study group, we were studying in Luke, I believe it was 14, the parable of the banquet.
Right.
And the reason the guests give as to why they cannot come, and one of the men said that he couldn't come because he had just taken a wife.
Right. And he probably had one of the more legitimate excuses, actually.
Right. That's what I was wondering.
Yeah, because I believe the other guy said, "Well, I've bought a yoke of oxen. I have to go prove them." And one would argue, "Well, why didn't you go prove them before you bought them?" You know, check that out.
Another one said that he had purchased a property and he had to go check it out.
Yeah,
whatever.
Go check that out. And again, "Well, why didn't you check that out before you bought it?" And certainly, you know, the guy that just married a wife, he had the best excuse of all.
Okay,
you know, he had the most legitimate excuse, but even so, you know, he could have during the course of that year, let's say, that newly married. It doesn't mean he can't ever go to anything, can't do anything. Certainly, he had a life to live. It's just that there are certain things that he could have been exempt from during that first year, such as military service.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
Oh, thanks for the call. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Well, thank you very much. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, and I believe we've got Jim on the line next. And Jim, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Hi, Pastor Al.
Hi.
Listening to your show every week. I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I had a question for you. Now, it's God's law that a marriage is between a man and a woman.
Right.
My question to you is, with all the things that are going on in our country and the different states and the different Supreme Court decisions on gay marriage, aren't most states in the union, aren't there laws that are against sodomy?
I think most of them were done away with as a result of the Texas case that the Supreme Court used to invalidate those laws. But, you know, that brings up an interesting question. And let me just divert it just for the moment, just for sake of illustration, to abortion. You know, just because something's legal doesn't mean that it's, shall we say, lawful. Do you see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Just because man rules that something is legal or that it's no longer illegal doesn't change God's view of it. Just like
nothing trumps God.
Exactly. Just like saying that it's now legal to kill an unborn child, really for no good reason, basically, that's now legal doesn't make it lawful in God's eyes. It's still against God's law. And so one could say the same thing about the removal of sodomy laws. Just because it is been made, let's say, no longer illegal in the eyes of man or in the eyes of government, doesn't mean that it's lawful in the eyes of God, because God calls it an abomination.
Right.
And so God clearly is saying that it is still illegal in his right. eyes. It's unlawful in God's eyes. It's an abomination. And
yeah, I know that there was, you know, there's a lot of laws that you see there that have been on the books since, and that they never really changed. I was just wondering if that was one of the laws that hadn't been changed, but you answered my question.
And they do change some outmoded laws. I think in Portsmouth, Ohio, at one time, it was illegal to drive your car down the street in the evening without sending somebody walking ahead of it so many feet with a lantern.
Right.
And that was on the books for a while. That was because back when the first cars came out, you know, they didn't move very fast, and they were worried about them spooking the horses or spooking somebody's livestock,
right.
And all. But and see, something like that, the fact that you can now drive your car in Portsmouth, Ohio, at night without somebody running ahead of you with a lantern. Just because they made that legal now doesn't mean that it's an unlawful act. It was, at the time, it sounded like a good reason, I guess, when they passed it. But see, in God's law doesn't change. And, you know, if it's sin, it's sin regardless of what people call it. You know, I could take a pig. I remember I grew up on a small farm. We had pigs. And I could take a pig and I could put a little collar on it with a little bell and call it a sheep. Well, it doesn't turn it into a sheep by any means. You know, you let it go, it's still going to go wallow in the mud because it's still a pig no matter what I call it.
It is what it is.
Yeah, exactly. It is what it is. And so man can change laws all he wants to. Man can say it's now legal for two men to marry or two women to marry. And man can say it's legal all he wants to, but what's God say about it? Well, it's an abomination. Men working with men, that which is unseemingly, turning away from the natural use of the woman, burning with their lust towards each other.
Right.
God calls that an abomination.
Is a very strong word.
Yes, exactly. It's a very, very strong word. And so it's contrary to God's law. That's why he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Somebody tried to say he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for the sin of not being hospitable. But that's not why he destroyed it. That's where we get the term sodomites from, is because of Sodom.
Right.
And because their noteworthy sin, which was homosexuality. And so God has always called it sinful, an abomination. and it hasn't changed no matter what man says. So hope that helps you out there.
It does. Thanks, Pastor Al.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate your call, Jim.
Take care.
Of course, we're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al tonight. We've got Kim, I believe, next coming up. And Kim, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Hi, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening.
Enjoying your show very thank you. Much. I wanted to ask you, there was a lady that called up earlier about women being pastors.
Right.
And I believe the Word of God, if it says that a woman shouldn't be a pastor, then she shouldn't be a pastor.
Right.
You know, but in my church, I mean, when I went to this church, they ordained this woman as a pastor, and she gave her first sermon there. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know any better then, you know.
Right.
And it was like, well, she's a pastor to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And what, I mean, it's not that I like her any less or, you know, or anything like that, or I try to judge her. But, I mean, I don't think women should be pastors, but I do think that they do have a lot to say about the Word of God. They could be teachers.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely. There's plenty of areas.
And
I was going to say, like I said with our last caller, regardless of whether or not we think it's okay, it ultimately depends on what God says about it.
Right. What consequences will she pay for that, though?
Well, yeah, that's a good question, because obviously she's, you know, the Bible says that the woman should not be doing that there in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and calls that usurping the authority. And we're talking about the spiritual authority within the church.
Right.
Now, having said that, if a woman from the pulpit in the church proclaims the gospel and somebody gets saved, they're not any less saved than if it was a man in the pulpit doing it.
Right.
Because faith cometh by hearing, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, and hearing by the word of God. And it doesn't matter where it comes from. You know, if the pulpit spoke with nobody, it would still.
Right.
Yeah, and let me give you an example. You know, there's a passage in the Bible that talks about he being dead yet speaketh. There are people on the radio that you'll hear from time to time who have died years ago. They're with the Lord, and recorded sermons and recorded teachings are being played on the radio to this day. People hear those, and sometimes they'll say, now, if the Lord's touched your heart, you know, repeat this prayer after me. And if somebody repeats the prayer of that recording and means it in their heart, they're not any less saved than if they were repeating the prayer of somebody who was live on the radio. Because even when that person was alive, there are people who trusted Christ as their Savior listening to a recorded program that he recorded, and then it was played at another time. And so it's the Word of God that's honored, whatever source it comes out of. It's just that God is more honored when we do things according to his plan and his direction. And in the church, again, as we were talking in the first half, it goes back to Genesis chapter 3, the curse that's on this world because of Adam and Eve's sin. And one of the consequences for Eve's sin is her desire would be to the man. You know, the woman's desire would be to be to the man, and in fact to take you know, usurp some of his authority, and also that she would not, as Paul told Timothy, because she was deceived, she's not allowed to have that position. Biblically speaking, does that mean she's any less knowledgeable? Absolutely not. Any less capable? Absolutely not. Any less intellectual? Absolutely not. Some women are far more knowledgeable, intellectual, and capable than men to do that work. But it's what the Bible says.
She wouldn't lose her salvation.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
Okay.
And, you know, but it's just that we're supposed to do everything according to God's word. We're supposed to follow his word. And so, you know, it becomes a difficult area because what do you do when you see what the Bible says and then you flaunt it?
Right.
You know, there's a rebelliousness that's there that has to be attended to. And so, yeah, that's a good point.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, appreciate
that. And you have a blessed night.
Thank you. You too. Thank you.
Bye.
And got a couple more callers we're going to try and get to as quickly as we can. I think we've got Ann coming up. And Ann, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Hi, Pastor Al. Bless your soul.
Hi, good evening. God bless.
I have a question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
Look at Luke 21.
Luke chapter 21, okay.
Okay. And then you look at 21.
Verse 21?
Yeah, and then you go down to 22.
Okay.
And you read that.
Luke 21, verse 21 and 22. You want me to read it?
Yeah, and you can go all the way down.
Okay.
To me, that passage is fulfilling today.
Yeah, it says, then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter therein too. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. And actually, if you look at it, this is going on, I believe, during the tribulation, actually.
Okay, but what about 23?
Woe unto them that are with child, and them that give suck those in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. If you compare that to Matthew chapter 24, where they're talking about the same thing.
Okay, and then you go to 20. Go back up to 20.
Right.
And you see Jerusalem.
And Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. And obviously, at the end of the tribulation period, the Battle of Armageddon, that's what we will see. And I was just going to go real quick over here to Matthew chapter 24. I know I'm running out of time rapidly here tonight. But Jesus was asked to tell what would be things that would talk about the end times and by his disciples. And he addresses some of this. I was trying to find the one passage here. Yeah, in Matthew 24, verse 19, woe to them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. And those days that he's talking about in verse 15 says, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. And then it comes down to verse 19. And so that's the midpoint of the tribulation. The restored Jewish temple, the Jewish temple will be rebuilt. The Antichrist will enter into it, declare himself to be God. I believe that'll be the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. People who are alive on earth at that time, that's what they're saying. Don't even go back to your homes, flee.
Right.
And, of course,
they're building the temple now.
They're making plans to fulfill it, yeah, or to rebuild it. In fact, they've accumulated the materials. They've got the plans drawn up. They're just waiting for the opportune time to do it.
Right.
So, you're absolutely right. So, all right.
Thank you.
All right. Glad to help there tonight. Thanks for the call, Ann. And we're coming up with just about a minute or two left in the program, I think. And we've got Jeremiah patiently waiting. Jeremiah, you're our last caller tonight. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be raptured this week.
I'd be helpful if it happened by the end of the before the end of the program. So
yeah, hope so too.
But all right, go ahead. Got just a few minutes or a couple.
That's what I was going to say.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. That's a good one to go out on. And thank you for the call there, Jeremiah. I appreciate that. And, the Bible says to be, look up and be watchful. We should be found waiting. I was preaching that in Luke chapter 12 to our people last week and touching on that again this week, how in Luke chapter 12 in verse 40, the Bible says, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Be ye ready. That means knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, knowing that your sins are forgiven, knowing that you trusted Christ as your Savior, knowing that you've done what you can to be ready for the return of Christ. And the biggest thing, knowing Christ as your Savior. If you don't, why don't you trust Christ as your Savior before it's too late? God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.